We're in 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 4, and we won't make it all the way through that chapter. But Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he's sort of annoyed with them. And he sees that they are a church, they are a people lifted up in pride. And this chapter is perhaps the strongest rebuke we'll see by the Apostle Paul to any of his churches. And as we read this rebuke to the Corinth church, Paul will resort to sarcasm against their prideful behavior. The Corinthians wanted and they desired an apostle of prominence. Well, that wasn't Paul, not in his own eyes. After all, they were Corinthians. They were educated, respected people. And they were not of the lower class, the less esteemed. And certainly they were not slaves. The Corinthians, well, actually, they're embarrassed by Paul's weak and humble appearance and attitude. Thus, we find them saying, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas. And yes, some even said, we're of Paul. But Paul had his physicals inadequacies. He was a man of short stature. It's been said that he was bow-legged. How they knew that, I don't know. He had runny eyes, and he was not a physical specimen of honor. So you looked at Paul and they kind of said, is that the best you can do? So let's read verses 6 through 8 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign and that we'd also reign with you. Paul, in verses 6 through 8 there, he's desiring that the Corinthians think of themselves in a more humble way. Not to think beyond, and he uses the term there, the written word of God. Don't think you're beyond the written word of God. He's warning the Corinthians, do not add to what is already written in Scripture. Paul, he does not want to be regarded or judged by a worldly standard. Today, many pastors will start their message with a joke. That's to loosen you up. That's to relax you, and that's to get you laughing and chuckling and so forth. And others will be well-dressed. This is not a bad shirt. And they are handsome in appearance. Well, sorry. One pastor that we attended a church here when we first moved back here, he wore a gorilla head to the pulpit. And I said, all right. And then on another Sunday, he had a wheelbarrow that he rolled up. Props to get your attention. And many saints, they want to hear sermons on how to be successful, how to get those things you've always wanted. Others want their pastor to live a prosperous lifestyle and be called perhaps a bishop. You can just call me Don, that's fine. At Corinth, who you esteemed, who you followed close after, separated you from others. Some would say we're of Apollos. Now, Apollos was known as a great orator. He would be spellbinding with his words, and he could capture your heart and attention with his way of speaking. And so we find Corinth, they align themselves with the traits of those that they looked up to, Apollos, Cephas, and some Paul. But it was difficult to align yourself with Paul because of his very humble physical state. So in verse 8, Paul rebukes the Corinthians. He says, you are already full. You are already rich. You want to reign as royalty or as kings. He says, you're lifted up in pride. And that was his kind of hidden message. Don't be prideful, you Corinthians. And Paul will now give us a biography of being what it's like to be an apostle. And that's in 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 13. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, we are dishonored. To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscourings of all things unto now. Verse 9 there, Paul gives a little picture of what it's like to be an apostle in the early church. And Paul says, I think, or it's really kind of my opinion, as apostles, we're on display before men. And then Paul says, and angels. Angels? When Paul was converted, he went up to Damascus, and Ananias prayed for Paul because the Lord has told him to go and pray for Paul. Ananias happens to know that Paul persecuted the church. Ananias has questions. Hey, God, are you sure you want me to go to Paul and pray for him? And then the Lord speaks to Ananias, and he says, I will show Paul how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And part of Paul's suffering is being on display to men, his fellow church brethren, and to angels. Now that captured my thought. Angels. He's on display to angels. We look at angels probably in a glass darkly, you know. We don't see them as they really are, I don't believe. But angels look upon Paul and other apostles, and I think there's a great curiosity among the angels. The angels, they have been in agreement with Ananias how Paul persecuted Jesus by persecuting early believers. The angels have seen this. So do the angels question, why has Jesus given this persecutor forgiveness? Hey, look, Jesus, there's all kinds of men you could choose from. Why have you chosen Paul? I think the angels actually questioned that. We know that they questioned why grace is given to some and not to others. We read that. But has God ever gone above and beyond what we think or our expectations of who should receive grace and mercy? Sometimes I'm actually taken back by who salvation comes to. I have questions about rock stars becoming Christians. Bob Dylan, Alice Cooper. Wait a minute, Lord. And when God shows us that his grace and mercy goes out to others, it doesn't take long for us to begin to think, well, grace and mercy came to me. Do I deserve God's mercy and grace? And I have to admit, I would have quit on me long ago had it not been for grace and mercy. I would have quit. I wouldn't have went to Don. And we can be legalistic when we look at others who receive God's grace, because there's a tendency in us that are saved to draw a line. Okay, I'm in. Let's draw a tougher line now for grace and mercy to be extended. I'm in. So let's stop there. Paul was judged by other believers for his apostleship. And it says, and angels. Even the angels are questioning why Paul is an apostle. He certainly didn't look like an apostle. He was not tall and handsome. He was repulsive. He was sort of hard to look upon. He was short, bow-legged, eyes that ran, and he will continue. He says, hey, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you Corinthians are wise. We are weak, but you're strong. We are distinguished and honored. No, we're dishonored. Apostles being dishonored. In verse 10 finds Paul being brutally honest. But he doesn't stop there. And he says, my physical state is not one to look upon. He says, we apostles are often hungry and thirsty. Not pastors, apostles. Up the food chain. He says, we're poorly clothed. We're often beaten and homeless. Think of that. Today we can look upon the homeless and determine many of them are homeless by choice. You ever come to that conclusion? That many homeless are that way by choice? Well, maybe some are. And we can find ourselves murmuring, hey, Bubba, get a job. Or at least I do. But Paul, he's looked down upon laboring with his own hand. He's a tent maker by trade. And he's looked down upon by the Corinthians for laboring to make his living. And the people, even there at Corinth, believe Paul is a lesser type person because he must labor for his living. Paul was an embarrassment to the high-thinking, high-living Corinthians. His poor state of living Well, that made him repulsive to them. But the esteemed Paul was what he was. He knew his calling. For common labor in the Corinthian eyes was not for apostles or speakers, but it was for slaves. And I recently read something that was enlightening to me. In times of famine, in times of a disease, plague, or something like this, the Corinthian people would gather the off-scouring, those undesirables among them, the scrappings, as they called them, and they would cast them into the sea. They would perform a genocide upon the unwanted of their society. The undesirables, they would do away with. And Paul, he is looked upon as a scrapping, unloved, unwanted, because he was an apostle and he was looked upon as destitute. I'm afraid that some of that may carry over in today's church. Today, some modern Christians want their pastors to be men of renown, of respect. I'm not that. The least trusted career in a survey taken just several years ago, the least respected were used car salesmen and pastors. We're right there with the used car. Would you buy a used car from me? Hopefully you would. We in the United States honor the wealthy. We strive to be wealthy. When in reality, the wealthy often persecute the poor. It's the wealthy who persecute the poor. And if your income is over $31,000 a year, you're in the upper 1% of the world society. $31,000. You can make that on Social Security. Well, if you draw with your wife. We are living in the upper 1% of society in world standards. That amazed me. I often say, to go hungry in America, you've got to be ignorant of all the giveaway food programs. You've got to be sort of stupid to go hungry in America. Or ignorant, to say the least. Our society has been, hopefully is not all over with, being a Christian society. And we're blessed by God because of our Christian heritage. But let me close with Paul's words in chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Paul is not trying to shame the Corinthians, but he's trying to correct their behavior and the thoughts of themselves. In verse 15, you have many instructors, yet I, Paul, am your spiritual father. I have begotten you through the gospel. They're there because Paul presented the gospel to them. I have given you the message of eternal life. Now, that happens to be the most precious thing as a believer that we own or possess is eternal life. Our life here on earth is short. David refers to it in the Psalms as a vapor of smoke, here one moment, gone the next, and how true that is. Paul is aware of the importance of eternal life. And he says, I'm your father in the faith. He will also write, what will a person give in exchange for his soul? You ever think about that? We would give anything and everything we have for our soul. Now, honestly, I try to live what I preach. But you will seldom ever hear me say, imitate me. Paul could say that. Paul could say that. To live a life where he says, look at me. Live like I live. Paul lived a life of dedication to God. Wherever Paul went, it was either riots or revival. There wasn't much in between. And he says, look at me. I'm the standard. Paul was a man of great dedication to the Lord. And he points to himself. So I say to you this morning, imitate Paul. I don't say imitate me, for I have many shortcomings. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, I'm proud of Paul when he can say, imitate me. Lord, I want to live a life that honors you. I want to be able to say to anyone, imitate me, but I fall short in saying that, Lord. For I know my failings. I know my shortcomings. So I say, imitate Paul. Be like Paul. And Lord, I want to live a life where I can say, imitate me. So help me. Help these your people to live a life of respect and honor that glorifies you, Lord. We want that in our heart. We want that in our lives, Lord. We want to be that example to an unbeliever, to our families, to our children. We want you to say, well done, good and faithful. That's what we desire. So, Lord, help us. And thank you for the example of Paul, this man who persecuted you in the early church. What a turnaround you did in his life that he would then say, imitate me. Thank you, Lord, for his courageous stand. And be with us, and may we, Lord, for it's all said and done, be able to say, imitate me. We want to be a good example to others, Lord. So help us. Go before us. And here we are in the Easter season. We're in that time of year in the high holidays of the Christian church. Let our witness be firm. Let it be strong about you, Lord. And bless our efforts. May we do works that remain and are fruitful for you, Lord, in your kingdom. And help us to be able to say, like Paul, imitate me. That's our desire. So help us, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.